Tomorrow night, the Albany Symphony Orchestra will kick off David Alan Miller's 25th anniversary season at the Palace Theater. He doesn't look a day over his 23rd season. He's celebrating the they'll be celebrating the Grammy Award-winning conductor's leadership and the orchestra's world-class musicians. David Alan Miller is recipient of over 25 ASCAP awards for adventurous and innovative programming and a 2014 Grammy Award for Best Classical Instrumental Solo. He has established a reputation as one of the leading American conductors of his generation and a champion of American symphonic music. His commitment to giving voice to new works by living American composers will be celebrated tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with the Capital Region debut performance of Aria for Hindustani soprano and orchestra by two-time ASCAP Morton Gould Award winner Rina Esmail. The opening night performance will also feature internationally acclaimed pianist Natasha
Peremsky.
Thank you. That was the one thing I didn't ask you about.
No worries.
We did it because they weren't here in the room.
Right,
that
of course.
Was the problem. Ravel's Piano Concerto in G, a three-movement concerto inspired by partly by the jazz music Ravel encountered during his 1928 American concert tour, and a centennial performance of Sibelius's Symphony No. 5, originally composed in 1915 and revised first in 1916. Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome David Alan Miller, Rina Esmail, and Siley Oak to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. Great to be with you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. We'll get to your guests in a moment. But
I want to introduce my guests
in more detail.
They're so fabulous.
But let us talk about what 25 years means to David Alan Miller.
Well, that's my age, Joe, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
You were born to the stage at the Palace Theater.
No doubt. I find it quite puzzling that it's been 25 years because it really feels like maybe 7 or 8. So I feel like there's been some terrible accounting error, and I don't fully appreciate
it's
how
a quarter
it could have
of a
been
century.
That. Yes, incredible. What can I say?
So you
I'm
have,
old and not very clear in the head anymore.
Oh, stop! But you have given the great moments of your creative life to this region, to this orchestra, and how does that feel to have a home for that long?
Well, it feels beautiful to have a home for that long because, as you know, a lot of people in my industry are very peripatetic.
Yes.
And they're
stability
itinerant.
Is not a...
And they don't really live in a place, and many of them live in a suitcase. And I must say that I never aspired to live in a suitcase. Spending time with a suitcase isn't so bad, but the idea of being able to live here with my wonderful wife, Andrea, and to raise all three of my children who were all born here, here in the Capital Region in this beautiful bucolic setting in the little town of Slingerlands has been a great privilege for me, and also the chance to live in this magnificent community and to work with these beautiful musicians. I saw the orchestra for the first time after the summer break yesterday. We had two rehearsals, and it's just like seeing family. They're the most magnificent musicians and human beings. So I love it here, and I've had a great, great time.
This may be an impossible question to ask, but just if you had like a off the top of your head figure, how many of those musicians that you saw last night or the same musicians you saw 25 years ago?
Maybe about a quarter.
Okay.
I would say 75% of the orchestra has turned over in my 25 years, but yeah, certainly a good number of our most fabulous, beloved players, our principal bassoonist, Steve Walt, our principal cellist, Susan Martula, our principal clarinetist, Susan Martula, our principal cellist, Susan Libby.
Name tags? Do we need name tags?
We need name tags. No, I'm rattling off names, but I'm getting the names all wrong. Liz Silver in the violin section, people who've been with us for many, many years, who I love and cherish, just a great number of them, but an incredible number of new people. And as anyone who's heard the orchestra in the last 10 or 15 years, the orchestra just gets better and better because we have this influx of incredible, mainly young musicians coming from the conservatories in New York and Boston and much further beyond.
And these kids these days are pretty impressive.
Boy, are they good. They just play all this stuff effortlessly. It's incredible.
So one of the things that I mentioned in the introduction is that one of your calling cards and one of the things that is attributed to you, rightfully so, is giving voice to new works, and that will be on display tomorrow night. Talk to us a little bit about how this particular work came about.
Well, I won't talk about how the work came about because we'll let Rina talk about that. But
okay.
What I will is talk maybe just for a moment about how the concert came about. You know, since it's my 25th
That's sort of what I meant, but
since
go
ahead. It's my 25th anniversary season, the board and the programming committee and all were very lovely about, what do you want to showcase, David? So I picked for the opening two of my absolute all-time favorite pieces. The Ravel Piano Concerto, which, as you said in your introduction, was really inspired by George Gershwin in a way. It's Ravel's jazz concerto. He was very excited by American jazz music and knew it really well. And so he fashioned this beautiful, beautiful concerto kind of with that sound world in mind. And then one of my all-time favorite symphonies, and one of the greatest, most unique pieces in the entire repertoire, Sibelius's Fifth Symphony. And then having these two effervescent pieces on this program, and I should mention, you know, this is kind of a gala opening. We're starting a half hour earlier than usual. We're starting at 7 instead of 7:30 because we're having a big, fabulous gala event party after the immediately following.
For me
and for everybody. So I knew that I was going to have the Ravel, which is a brief but fantastically effervescent concerto, followed by the gorgeous Sibelius Fifth. So I wanted some beautiful new piece, ideally from a young emerging composer, to open the entire season and the year, and to celebrate the idea of our always looking forward. So I turned to my friend Rina Esmail, who actually has had a piece played by our new music ensemble, The Dogs of Desire, but never by the full orchestra. And I invited her to be our composer educator partner this year. So she'll be with us a number of times, working with two area public schools on a composing, how to compose project with probably fifth and sixth graders. And she'll also have a piece on this concert and then a piece on our final concert. And so this is the piece that I invited Rina to have us do. So Rina, why don't you tell us a little bit about the piece, because it's a beautiful thing and it goes so well with the other two pieces on the program.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to have this piece performed. It was actually, so it's a piece for Hindustani vocalist and orchestra, and it was the first time, I wrote it in 2010, and it was the first time that I had ever put a Indian musician in my work. And so in a way, going through this rehearsal process so many years later, when, you know, now my entire career is about mixing Indian music and Western music, and, you know, I'm so, so deep into it. It's amazing to go back to when I first began doing this, what I was thinking, what my ideas were, and kind of revisiting that process for
and
this
you were
point.
Still in graduate school at Yale when you wrote this piece,
I
right?
was. I was a master's student at Yale, and actually, it's a kind of a funny story about the piece, because for years, I had really been wanting to work with Indian musicians in my music, and I just didn't know a lot about Indian music, and I kind of felt like until I truly understood what I was doing, or I took some steps in that direction, I shouldn't just be like throwing Indian stuff in my pieces. And so I really kind of walked on eggshells with that for a while. And then you know, at Yale we have this opportunity to have a orchestra piece performed, and I really wanted to put a big piano in my piece, and they had moved it so that we were on a smaller stage, and the orchestra manager would not let me put a piano in the piece, and I fought and fought and fought, could not get the piano in the piece. And so I said, almost like facetiously, I was like, okay, well, you know what, can I just put an Indian singer in my piece? That's not going to take up a lot of space on the stage. And she said, yeah, great, huh? Do it. And then I thought, oh my gosh, now I have to figure out how this is going to work.
Right, it's a beautiful, very successful
yeah.
piece, very evocative.
Yeah,
yeah. And so, I should mention, Rina is Indian American. She's born in Los Angeles, is
yes.
that right?
Yes, no, I was born in Chicago, but I grew up in Los Angeles.
Grew up in Los Angeles, yeah. But her parents are very interesting backgrounds, both Indian.
Yeah, my parents are, I'm ethnically fully Indian, but within India, I'm considered mixed race, because my father is from Surat, which is a town in Gujarat. It's a little bit north of Bombay, and he actually grew up in Pakistan. And then my mother is from Goa, which is in the south of India, and was colonized by Portugal. So my father is actually Muslim, and my mom is Catholic.
Talk about intermarriage. Whoa.
That's
yeah.
cool.
That's cool.
So Siley Oak is the vocalist for this piece. And have you ever performed this particular piece before?
Not really. I have never performed with a symphony orchestra before.
Any symphony orchestra ever.
Yes.
Well, so how did that happen?
So it was Rina who got me introduced to this lovely, lovely piece and this amazing set of notes which go on from... It's a completely different concept, different than Hindustani music, but the kind of music that she has composed, it blends it so beautifully. So it's an amazing experience, and the orchestra is simply amazing, and it's the rehearsal was... It gave me goosebumps.
Right. It's a fascinating thing, and we won't get too technical about it, but Saïli really, if I understand correctly, notation isn't really the same kind of thing. They don't really note, they memorize, and the notation's entirely differently, different, and the sense of time is different. So you've got Saïli doing this very Hindustani thing, and the orchestra doing this very measured thing, and Rina trying to make the orchestra a little more like Saïli, and Saïli a little more like the orchestra. It's a fascinating mixing of two whole languages, really.
Yeah, it's very interesting to have a foot in both worlds and try to figure out what each group of people is thinking and how to bring that together. And yeah, and how did you feel in the...
Biggest challenge is we are taught not to use any piece of paper when we are singing. And then to sing each and every note off of a piece of paper is my biggest challenge. To be able to stick to what's in front of me is completely different than what I have been trained for.
So in that training, is the training to memorize it, or is the training to allow you to...
To improvise.
To improvise and to deviate.
Yes.
Which, obviously, the orchestra would probably have a heart attack if you did that. Right? I mean, that would...
But she it's interesting because Saïli's being a little... less improvisatory than she normally would be, but the orchestra's being a little bit more improvisatory than it would be, in that there are these sections where we're given the notes, but we're allowed to kind of be very flexible and encouraged to be very free with them. So it's kind of like putting a jazz musician inside the orchestra who doesn't play notated music as much as we do, the same way, and trying to put the two elements together. And it's really artfully done and beautiful, because the orchestra's forever responding to and amplifying what Saïli gives us in terms of the themes and such.
I mentioned that this is the Capital Region premiere of this, but where have you done this work elsewhere?
It was actually just done at Yale once, and then it hasn't been done since, and now it's being revived for this.
So what do you look for in a vocalist to do this?
You know, it's actually... very hard to find anyone who can make this happen. And when I wrote this piece, I actually never thought it would be performed again, because it's very hard to find actually any Indian vocalist of a very high quality who's living in the U.S. who you can work with regularly. And then to find someone like Saïli who is actually, you know, game for collaborating and game for, like, really figuring out what's going on in Western music.
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't think I would be able to do as much as I'm able to do without her.
So this is this must be tremendous and a lot of fun. Do you have family coming into the concert? Or?
Yes, a couple of my friends from Boston are driving all the way.
Wonderful. Well, that'll
and the
be
orchestra,
a very special
and
evening.
The musicians and I are just mesmerized by the way Saïli performs, because it's such an exotic, different world from ours. But it somehow really works beautifully in this program, and that's why I wanted to put these three pieces together.
Well, you can find out more information about this very special concert, which is happening tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, as David mentioned, starting a little bit early to make room for the gala.
Right.
And you can find out about all of those packages and all the good stuff by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. There will also be a link to this interview when it's posted on our website at wamc.org. But the Albany Symphony Orchestra will present this performance tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Palace Theater in downtown Albany. David, first of all, thank you very much for being here, and congratulations on 25 wonderful years. I know we'll be celebrating this entire season, so we'll talk more about that, but thank you very much, as always, for being here.
Thank you, Joe.
And Rina and Saïli, I thank you very much for joining us and sharing, and have a beautiful night tomorrow night.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.